It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 20% of school-aged children in the United States are impacted by dyslexia or similar language-based disorders. Because it's known as an invisible disability, dyslexia is difficult to diagnose, especially in young children. But new research suggests early detection could be key in ensuring these students receive the services they need to succeed. Joining me now in studio to talk about new pilot programs and legislation moving through Harrisburg, among other things, is the Pittsburgh Region Chair of the Pennsylvania branch of the International Dyslexia Association, Christine Seppi. Christine Seppi, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And joining us by phone is Daphne Uliana, a member of the organization. Daphne Uliana, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Christine, let's start by looking at some of the aspects of this disorder. What are some signs that a child may be dyslexic?
Well, there is a variation because, like most disorders, there's a spectrum. But a child who's really severely dyslexic may show things even before they go to school in terms of their spoken language. They may be delayed in language. They may find more mixing up of multisyllable words than is normal. And a lot of difficulty memorizing something like their phone number, their address, the alphabet, numbers. Difficulty with rhyming. If you see those kinds of things, those are potential issues, although not every child who has difficulty with that is dyslexic. For many children, nothing really shows up until they go to school. And then they have difficulty with putting the sound to the symbol when they start trying to learn to read. And then taking those symbols and blending them into a word becomes very difficult.
So there are some challenges that clearly dyslexic children face. Do they go beyond the schoolroom?
Most of them show up initially in the schoolroom. I mean, obviously, if a child can't read, they have trouble with all kinds of things in life. So, yes, it goes beyond the schoolroom. And some kids have difficulty. A lot of kids have difficulty with right and left. We don't really know why that is, but and perhaps complex directions where you're told to do A, then B, then C, then D. I may not manage to keep all those together.
Daphne, what can you tell us about the dyslexia and early literacy intervention pilot program?
Well, it was signed into law in June of 2014. It's Act 69. The original legislation was introduced by Representative Ed Nielsen from Philadelphia. And as all things, you know, he had a relationship. He had a son who had dyslexia, so he was inspired to do something. So he introduced this legislation, and as I said, it finally passed. And it is originally was for three school districts for 3 years, a screening process would happen. The school district would screen every kindergartner three times during the school year for basic literacy skills. But once the legislation passed, the Department of Education added five more school districts onto it. So we now have eight school districts involved in the pilot. And four of them, by the way, are on the western side of the state. So again, we'll go through and the school district will screen in the early part of the year, say October, to get a sense of where these children are with their literacy skills and try to get them some basic help, intervention help, if they show up to have problems right off, just a little bit of help. And then and they try to do things a little bit differently. And then we'll screen again in late January and early February. And at that point, if a child is still struggling, they will add a few more screeners on top to really dig a little bit deeper to find out what is the child struggling with. What is it? What kind of help do they really need? What can they do to help? And then they'll screen again at the end of the year to see how much progress is made. And they will monitor this progress all through the school year. And then depending on what happens with the third screener, the child will maybe be recommended for some more testing, some psychoeducational testing perhaps, something that will dig even deeper to get to the bottom of the problem. And again, some of these children just need a little extra time to understand letters and sounds and how they come together. Some just need more time reading. As Christine said, not all kids who struggle to read right off the bat are dyslexic, but they will need extra help, and if we can get to them early, we help them as well.
And how do you screen children for dyslexia? What specifically do you do?
Well, in this pilot, it's not a dyslexia screener. You can't really screen for dyslexia. You can get, as I said before, these psychoeducational tests, which are much more complicated and involved. The screener that is used in this pilot, it basically will test for, again, literacy skills, sounds, phonemic awareness, alphabet sounds, do they know some small words? And at that point, if they're not to a certain point where they feel they should be, that's when they will go in and try to help them with some of their basic skills, the alphabet, the sounds, how the sounds would come together.
412-246-2002 to join our conversation with the Pittsburgh Region Chair of the Pennsylvania Branch of the International Dyslexia Association, Christine Seppi, and Daphne Uliana, who you just heard with us by phone, a member of the organization. 412-246-2002. Let's go to Maggie in Moon Township. Hi, Maggie. Welcome.
Hi. I was a student of Christine's.
Maggie, let me just. Okay, good. You got the key out of the ignition.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I was a student of Christine's many years ago now, but I'm thrilled to hear that there's more research being done to try to pinpoint dyslexia in children as young as possible, because I wasn't able to learn how to read or write until I was 13, and that impacted my schooling a lot, if you can imagine.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just very thrilled to hear this.
Well, we appreciate your sharing that with us, and Maggie says she didn't learn to read and write until she was 13. Is that common?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, it happens a lot more often, I think, than we would ever like to think about. And I have to say, the emotional side of not being able to read really does affect families, and especially people like your caller. It really affects their life in a huge way, and can really, if they don't get the right help, as obviously she did, can turn their life upside down and maybe send them in a direction that is not as positive.
Let's go to Joe in Hopewell with a question. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, I suffered from that when I was young. I had to go to special ed classes at the age of 3 and 4 because I didn't talk well, and then I had trouble reading. Question I have is, but later I still have trouble with looking at words phonetically and being able to pronounce them. But once I hear them, I hear very well, and I almost remember everything I hear. Is there any new technologies coming about, like a Carnegie Mellon has done? They're close to having the Babel phone, which is going to translate languages to each other. But is there anything that could happen where they can help the dyslexic person listen and read better through some kind of new high technologies maybe being developed?
That's a great question, Joe. We'll let you take that, Christine.
There actually are some pretty old technologies that work really well. Just think of recorded books, and they can be really valuable. And there are a number of places that people can get recorded books. You can get them from the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped through the Carnegie Library System. You can get them through Reading Ally, Bookshare. And there are a lot of programs now where right on your computer, you can have your computer read to you with a mechanical voice, but read anything that shows up on the screen of the computer. So that's being very valuable for people who have difficulty reading for whatever reason.
Daphne, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add, I have a lot of, because I'm dyslexic, I've sought out several different, there's lots of apps that you can get for your smartphones that can take articles from the internet and put them into a program that then reads it back to you. It is a mechanical voice, but it's great for me, especially when I'm in the car for a long period of time and just listen to all these articles that are hard for me to read.
Are we doing a better job as a society, as a whole, in reducing the stigma associated with dyslexia to make sure that kids who are dealing with this know that they are not any less intelligent than anybody else?
I think that's hard to say. I think it really varies. A lot of kids who are dyslexic, because they're very bright and capable in other ways, get stigmatized as being lazy. You know, somebody looks at them and here's this child who, when you talk to them and they listen to something, as Joe was saying, he can understand if he listens to something. And then they try to read something or they're trying to write a report and they're not doing well. It's like, well, you're not trying very hard. And it's very difficult for kids.
Daphne, what will it take for the pilot to become fully implemented in early childhood cognition screenings?
Well, it'll take, I think, the education world and parents and advocates, everyone involved, to understand how important it is to screen early and how you can really, really help these children early. And unfortunately, when it comes to government, sometimes these things get down to dollars and cents. And that's really a part of what our pilot is about, is that we want to show that if you spend a small amount of money in the beginning in kindergarten and first grade on these kids, doing simple things like screening and getting some remediation for them, that it will reduce your special education dollars in the fourth and fifth grade, because that's normally what happens, is a lot of these kids get to third and fourth grade because they are intelligent, and that's when special education in the state really blossoms, because the work becomes more difficult. They are expected to read on their own. There's a saying about you learn to read from kindergarten to third and fourth grade. By fourth grade on, you're expected to read to learn. So you're learning to read, and then you're expected to do it on your own. And if you cannot do it on your own, it becomes very difficult. So it's going to take a lot of time, and hopefully our pilot will be something that will push it.
Christine Seppi, a full-day conference is being held in April in Monroeville called Learning and Living with Dyslexia. And I understand that at this conference, you're bringing in adults to tell their stories. What do you hope that they'll add to the conversation about dyslexia? And we had Joe just a few moments ago who shared his story. That I can't see that as doing anything but helping.
We think it will help people. We actually, our keynote speaker is an adult who wasn't diagnosed until he was 29. And had just been,
really?
He was just passed through, you know, when he got his diploma from high school, he said he actually couldn't read his diploma. And so he was a functionally illiterate adult. Then he was diagnosed. He was taught to read. He's become a storyteller, radio personality, writer, and very successful. And we think
Can we say who this person is?
His name is Nelson Lauver. He's from the eastern part of our state. We're really excited he's going to be with us here in Pennsylvania. But Nelson and others will tell their stories as one workshop session for people who want to see that it's not dire to be told that you're dyslexic. Yes, they will tell the stories of their struggles when they were young, but they'll also tell the stories of their successes.
Now, this particular individual, you say he wasn't diagnosed until he was 29. This would have been when? When did that happen?
Oh, gosh.
I'm guessing he's a little older?
He is a little older, but, you know, that can still happen.
Really?
It definitely can still happen. There are lots of people who are never diagnosed.
Well, there is the famous story of the Stanley Cup winning hockey coach, Jacques Demers, who his primary language is French, but he could not read, and he hit it for a good part of his adult life. And then finally, after becoming a successful NHL coach, he divulged this. And as a hockey fan and hearing this and knowing what goes into coaching, I think I and like many others was just blown away to hear that. Go ahead.
John Chambers, who's the CEO of Cisco Systems, is dyslexic, and he hid it also for years. He just made everybody who had to talk to him, had to report to him, they had to do it orally. And it's only relatively recently that he's divulged. Richard Branson is another person who's dyslexic.
Really?
And both of these people and a number of other people say that their dyslexia also brings with them strengths in out-of-the-box thinking and ways of problem-solving. And so it's not only a disability, it's more a difference.
We're getting a little tight on time. We're down to just about a minute right now. But what encouragement can you give to the parents of a child with dyslexia? Daphne, let's start with you.
That things are changing, that there are so many more resources out there than there were even when I was younger and when my kids were being diagnosed, and things like the conference next week are really important to learn so much and connect with other people and parents and professionals that can help you and support you along the way.
And Christine?
This conference is going to be really valuable as a way of giving information to parents, to teachers, to psychologists, to social workers. Anyone who works with children should really look into this, because if dyslexia really is 20% of the population, anyone who's working with kids has someone dyslexic in the group they're working with. They just don't know it. But I think the encouragement is that if you get the proper help, once you learn to read, you can be successful. You can use those other strengths that you have. And my son, who's dyslexic, is a graduate of Carnegie Mellon. He's a successful adult.
Well, there you go. Great conversation. I want to thank both of you for being here. Christine Seppi, she is the Pittsburgh Region Chair of the Pennsylvania branch of the International Dyslexia Association, and also joining us, a member of that organization doing a lot of fine work, Daphne Uliana. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Until tomorrow, so long for now.